Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm your host, Ted Odorico, and right alongside is co-host, Legends Tour player and LPGA professional, Cindy Miller. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Ted.
How are
you
doing?
Well, here we are. After Easter.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got a little bit of a frog in my throat this morning, so you have to forgive me out there, and you as well, Cindy. Very exciting week this week for a couple of reasons. Obviously, we're on the cusp of the Masters week. We've already started, actually, and Cindy, you were just telling me about your daughter being there for the Golf Channel. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But let me remind everybody, of course, we are live every Tuesday morning, as we are this morning. Simple way to find us is go to blogtalkradio.com and up in the search key type Women of Golf, and that will bring you to the current day's show while you're visiting us on Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those of you that might miss the broadcast, we hope you don't. But if you do, again, you can visit that link and just scroll down into the on-demand section. As all of our programs are auto-recorded. So if you don't get us live, be sure to go down through the on-demand section and visit any of the programs you might have missed. And we hope you don't miss today's program, as I said, but if you do, that's where you can go and find it. Also, it's available for download in iTunes, so go to iTunes.com up in the podcast section and just, again, type Women of Golf, and that'll bring you there as well. Don't forget, if you want to call in live or call in during the live broadcast at any time and speak with either Cindy or myself or any of the guests, you can do so at area code 347-945-5855. You can also email us with any questions or comments about the program at womenofgolf@gmail.com. If you need to get a hold of Cindy or I personally, if you want to email us personally, you can do so. My email is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And if you're interested in coming on the show or you need to reach out to Cindy Miller, you can do so at cindy@cindymillergolf.com. Got a great show this week, Cindy. We got coming up here first in just a few minutes, Katie Kempter. She's the winner of the 2015 Volvic Championship on the Symetra Tour. Very excited. We're going to start having some of the winners on here. And then a little bit later on in the broadcast, we're going to interview Melanie Bedrosian, who is the Executive Director and Corporate Counsel for JBC Golf and the LPGA Golf Clinics for Women. So we're going to be interviewing them here shortly. But as I said, Cindy, great week on the beginning of the Masters week. And you were saying, just telling me off air, that your daughter is working there for the Golf Channel this week.
She is a feature producer for Golf Channel, and she is at the Masters, and she produced a few of the drive, chip, and putt features. That the drive, chip, and putt was Easter Sunday, and there were many, many winners from all across the country, and a couple of the girls that she did features on ended up being the national champion. So that was kind of cool. It's
yeah,
a busy week
always.
For Golf Channel and golf, and it's a beautiful week.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, we were there enjoying some of the great times that are going to be had this year. And it's an exciting tournament. You know, Cindy, I always wonder about this question. You know, the onslaught of Tiger Woods on tour a few years back, Augusta has gone through a lot of changes. particularly, you know, because he did so well there in his first event. And, you know, they expanded the course. They did a lot of things. Is there really anything they can do to Augusta National, do you think, to really make it any more difficult than it really is?
No, and I don't think they need to.
Yeah.
I think it's the tradition. It's just, you know, it's golf's best week, if you will.
Yeah,
spring,
I agree.
There's flowers, it's excitement. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's the, if you will, and I hate to use the comparison, but it's essentially the Super Bowl of golf, really, if you think about it. Certainly not to take away or detract from any of the other majors that happen, the U.S. Open, of course, but I think the Masters has sort of a special meaning for everybody because it is such a unique, it's beginning of the year, it's the first major, and it's just such, Augusta National is just such a beautiful golf course that if you haven't had the honor or privilege of going there, you need to make it a point, some point here in the next few years, and go out and watch a Masters tournament. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, as
we
you mentioned,
we had a pretty
too,
exciting weekend this past weekend in golf. There were two playoffs. Brittany Lincecum eagled the 18th hole at the Anna Inspiration,
mm-hmm.
and to tie Stacey Lewis, and she ended up winning on the third playoff hole.
Fantastic.
And then, did you watch the men?
I didn't. You know what? As I was telling you, I was trying to get out and in the boat this weekend. We had some problems, so it just was not a good weekend, and I didn't get a chance to, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch any of the golf this weekend. But did you yourself? Or?
I did, and it was pretty awesome. It was really awesome. Jordan Spieth, Johnson Wagner, and oh my God, I can't remember his name. How bad am I? They were in a playoff, and he ended up winning.
Well, you know, Jordan, you know, what's interesting, Cindy, is you mentioned Jordan Spieth. His name's coming up a lot here recently, isn't it?
It is. It is.
I think
kid's
almost
a really good player. He bailed out, though. He kind of gagged it in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's always seems to be, though, his name, you know, week in, week out, I always hear his name circulating around in the tournament, and he's, you know, he's just hovering right there, you know, up among the leaders almost every week, it seems. Maybe it's just me, but I just seem to hear his name all the time.
Well, he made a clutch putt on 18 to tie for the playoff. Johnson Wagner made a really long putt to birdie 18 to get in the playoff, and J.B. Holmes is the one that ended up winning, and J.B. Holmes was sitting around. He shot 64. He could have shot lights out. He kind of bailed on the last few holes. He did, you know, he played great.
Right.
And he sat around for a couple hours waiting for everyone to finish, and then they were in the playoff, and JB ended up winning. But Johnson Wagner, I mean, it's just a great story, and it just goes to show how great these players are.
Yeah.
They really, everybody can play. Everybody can play. You got to be so good.
and consistent. And, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, a lot of people, it's very easy, you know, in the media, you see sometimes a lot of critics talking about some of the players and, well, he or she did this or didn't do that. But, you know, when you think about it, it's not that easy. We know ourselves just going out and playing for fun that you're not going to be at your best week in, week out all the time. And for these guys to be under the gun like that every single week, the ladies as well, that's not an easy task. There's a lot of pressure to perform. There's a lot of media attention on these guys, especially the closer you get to the leaderboard, and it's not an easy task. So, you know, when you hear, you know, things like, well, so-and-so kind of choked out there or didn't, you know, didn't really play a great round, it's probably still a better round than most amateurs out there would play, but it's not going to be done week in, week out. It's very difficult.
Well, and Brittany Lincecum had not won since, I don't know, for a few years. And in 2009, she eagled the 18th hole, which was, you know, it's the old Kraft Nabisco.
Yeah.
Dinah Shore in the first major on the LPGA Tour. And she did the exact same thing this year. And so,
yeah.
You know, she said, wow, it was Easter Sunday that time, and it was Easter Sunday this time, and how random that you would knock at 8 feet to make an eagle. It's just they realize, you know, all the stars must align to be able to pull this off, and it doesn't always work that way. I mean, 144 people tee off every week, and only one gets to win.
Right, exactly. And you know, it goes to what we've talked about here earlier on in the program, you know, about the mental side of the game. You know, I would really find it difficult to find a player in today's tour, any of the tours really, that doesn't have the physical game. I think it really boils down to the mental side of things, you know, that mental toughness that we all need to get out there and grind it every week. And I think that some of these young players particularly, you know, some of them are very good from day one, and others sort of struggle early on. But as they mature and sort of learn the ropes, if you will, sort of strengthen that mental toughness. And that's why I think sometimes you'll see some will come right up from the gun and just sort of or the gate rather, and just sort of win very early on in their careers. And then some of it, of course, I'm sure is a little bit of luck, but and almost dominate. And then you'll see others that will take sometimes years before they'll win their first tournament.
You have to learn to be comfortable.
You have to learn
to believe that you belong. I mean, there's so much more than just the game.
Right, exactly. And you know yourself, Cindy, you've played in many events, and you know how tough it is out there. And, you know, you'll be going along, and the round will be going great, and then all of a sudden something will just, you know, maybe a bad hole or even two, and it can just really throw your the rest of your round off if you're not careful. And that's what happens, you know, even to the best of them.
Yep, it sure does.
You know, but we're going to have nothing but good positive thoughts for this week's Masters, and we wish all of them, all of the guys, a lot of luck. I think I'd like to be honest, and it's not, maybe it's a sentimental thing, I'd like to see, you know, one of the older guys come out and just sort of a real, I don't want to use the term Cinderella story, but, you know, just something that, you know, one of the guys that's been on tour for a while, that this would just be a great way to sort of just give them a bit of a boost and just show them that the reason they're still playing. And I don't know, I'm just kind of sentimental that way, I guess. I'd like to see, you know, somebody that's been on for a while, like maybe like a Jim Furyk or somebody, just come out here and just really take charge this week.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to win?
I don't know. They were talking a lot last night about Jason Day and who was the other one that they were talking about last night on the Golf Channel, and I don't know. You know, I'd like to see, to be honest, I'd like to see Jim Furyk, somebody like Jim Furyk. You know, everybody always talks about Phil and, you know, or Tiger and some of those players not, I don't know whether he's going to be in it or not. I haven't really looked to see who's in it, but you know, I would love to see Freddie Couples if he played. If he played, I'd love to see Freddie come back. I think he won in '92, if I'm not mistaken, the year. And I know it was a very emotional week for him. And I'd like to see somebody like a Freddie, or like I said, one of the more seasoned players. What about yourself?
I'm not sure. I don't really have a favorite. I like watching good golf, and I like seeing drama, and I like the tension and the pressure, and I like to see who can perform when there's a gun pointed at their head and they get to choose whether or not they pull the trigger.
Right.
It's just fun for me to see, you know, can you really compete at this highest level and pull it off? And
yeah,
this is
exactly
what they practice for. This is, you know, it's as the privilege of pressure. That's what this is all about.
Well, speaking of pressure and speaking of winning, we have a young lady that's going to be joining us here in literally just a few seconds. I see she's on board with us. So let me just do the introduction here. Her name is Katie Kempter. She is the winner of the 2015 Volvic Championship on the Symetra Tour. Just a little bit about Katie. This is her fifth year on tour. She's 27 years old. I normally don't like to tell a young lady's age, but in this case I will. So she's still quite young. I haven't seen that number myself for a long time. She's the Volvic Championship was, of course, her first career victory. She's had 8 career top 10 finishes on the Symetra Tour, 18 top 10 finishes, and 3 wins in college, where she attended the University of Denver. Originally from Albuquerque, New Mexico, but now lives, of course, where many great players live, down in Jupiter, Florida. And she qualified for her LPGA card right out of college back in 2010 through Q School. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about her win and just some other challenges that she faces while out on tour. So let's welcome Katie Kempter. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. How are you all?
We're doing
good
very
morning.
Well.
Good morning. We're great. Good.
Welcome to the show, and thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy morning. We know you got lots of things going on, and we appreciate you taking some time and joining us this morning. Obviously, you won the Volvic Championship earlier in the year. I believe it was in the latter part of February out in Beaumont, California. Tell us a little bit about the win and why it was so special for you.
Yeah, my dad was out on the bag. My mom was out watching, so that was the most special part about it all. We had, I think I finished the day coming in 4 shots behind the lead. The weather was a little iffy. Ended up birdieing the last 3 holes to get into a playoff. I was the second to last group coming in, so I had to watch the leaders come in. And then ended up getting up and down on the second playoff hole, and that managed the victory. So it was pretty special.
Wow.
Very good.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Cindy, I know you had some questions as well.
What did you shoot to win the tournament, Katie?
I shot 5 under total, 71, 69, 71.
Wow.
Wow, awesome. How many holes was the playoff?
2 holes. We played 18 2 times around.
And was it a par 4 or a par 5?
Par 4, I think about 375, 380 yards, a little slight dogleg right, downwind, pond on the left. Good hole, actually. Good hole coming in. Ended up having to hit 3 wood off the tee just because driver brought water into play with the wind being with you.
And who were you in the playoff with?
I was in the playoff with, I just had a major brain fart. I did earlier.
Lee,
I forgot who won this. Lee Lopez.
Lee
She's
Lopez.
From California as well. Yeah, I think she went to UCLA. Great girl.
Awesome,
fantastic.
Awesome. Now, cool was it for mom and dad to be there with you when you know, we all know what it's like for you to become such a great player? It's not like you just practiced for a couple weeks and you showed up and won. This has been an investment of time and money and life and blood, sweat, and tears, as we would call it.
It has.
Oh, cool.
And I mean, my parents have been with me every step of the way. They've believed in me ever since I decided I wanted to turn professional. I mean, even when I pursued college golf and getting the scholarship and getting my education basically paid for, and to have them there was very, very special. I mean, they get out to about 5 or 6 events a year, so I guess I took advantage of when they were there.
Now you said, Katie, you said that your dad was on the bag that week. How special was that?
It was great. I mean, he's like my best friend. The relationship he and I have with golf, he started me in golf. He kind of started teaching me golf. But as I became better, you know, he kind of handed me off to my teacher, Bill Harvey, who I've worked with since I was 13, and continue to work with him today. But anytime we're together on the golf course, it's a very special place, whether we're playing together or he's caddying for me. I mean, I used to caddy for him in his regular little section events that he would have back home, and it's just a great place to be with my dad.
Yeah, I'm sure it's interesting to get his perspective. You know, obviously you're in the moment and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do for next play. It's kind of nice to have a familiar voice sort of encouraging you and sometimes maybe even guiding you in some way. Is that pretty accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny. I had about a 4-footer on the first playoff hole for par, and I remember thinking over the putt, I'm not as nervous as I always thought I would be. Like, I thought a 4-footer, I'd be pretty nervous. I knew I needed to make it, and I was okay. And I asked him later on after the playoff and a little bit later into the evening, I said, "How nervous were you?" And he's like, "I was standing there with that 4-footer," and he goes, "I could hear my heart pounding, and the only thing I thought was, I hope hers isn't pounding that hard." But it's just nice to have somebody you're comfortable with when you're on the bag, and that was the most special of everything. So
that's awesome. Now, you've been on the Symetra Tour for 5 years?
I have, yes. I played on the LPGA in 2010, didn't keep my card, and then I've been out on the Symetra Tour ever since, and it's been an amazing... The progress the Symetra Tour has made as a tour as a whole has been unbelievable in the 5 years I've been out there. I mean, when I got out there in 2011, you know, no offense to what they were doing, but it was just not professional enough. It didn't have that feeling of I'm a professional golfer. And once the LPGA kind of got their hands more into it, when they cleared their plate and got their tour healthy again, Mike Wan was able to come in and kind of direct the tour where he wanted to go. We got lucky with a great sponsorship with Symetra. They've been with us, I think they began in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. And it's just been this great development of a tour, and they're really trying to make it so that when those 10 girls from the top 10 on the card, race for the card, advance, they stay up there and they have a lucrative and successful career on the LPGA.
Fantastic.
Let me ask you, on your first year on the LPGA Tour, how many events were you able to get into?
I was able to get into 11. I played my way into 13 through the money list, and that was with a full card. I finished second in Q School back in December of 2009.
Wow. That's impressive.
So I felt like... Yeah, every time I stepped out there, I felt like I had the top 10 to keep my card. But you know, when you're 22 and you're brand new to the game, professional game, there's a lot to learn, and a lot more of it is mental than physical. I mean, we can all hit a ball. You know, it's just getting around the golf course, managing your emotions, managing your game plan, sticking to it, and being able to enjoy it, because that's why you're out there. At least I can't speak for everyone, but that's why I'm out there.
What have you learned, and how much have you grown in these 5 years, and what could you tell our listeners might be the biggest lesson from the first, after you qualified for the tour, from the first tournament you played in until you won this last event? What have you learned about Katie?
I think the biggest thing I've learned about myself is perseverance. You know, with golf, there's a lot of up and downs throughout your career, and that goes in a round of golf too. I mean, you're going to make some bogeys, you're going to make some birdies, but to be able to realize that I wanted to be out here, and I want to continue to be out here and chase that dream, that to me, to see myself go through the lows and then start to come back up and get on the high, has been the biggest thing I've learned, is that I don't give up. And I think the reason is because I love the game of golf so much. It's not a job to me, and for a while it became a job, because I didn't understand exactly what it meant to be at the highest level. I didn't realize how special that privilege was. I mean, it's a special place to be, and not everybody's going to get there. And you want to get back there, because it's just a great place to be.
Yeah. And you know, you're right, Katie. You know, at 22 years old, you know, even though you're technically, you know, a young lady at that point, you know, you're still got that sort of young kid in you, and you know, you're I don't want to say, you know, a little cocky, but I think there's always, you know, in youngsters, there's a little bit of arrogance that goes along with it. You think, okay, I can take on the world. And then reality sort of gets, you know, you get out there amongst some of the best players in the world, and it sometimes is a little bit of a reality check, and say, wow, I've not just got to bring my own game here, but or my best game, but I've got to really, you know, really think about what I'm going to do out here on the golf course. Was that kind of a little bit of an experience that you had early on?
A little bit. I've never been much of a cocky player. My coach has always said, you need to get more cocky, and it's just not in my personality profile. But as far as getting out there, all of a sudden, you know, in December, I was like, all right, I got my card, I'm super excited. And then I had a layoff for 3 months, and I just sat there and thought about, oh my gosh, what am I about to get into? And I got to the Kia Classic in San Diego, and, you know, here's Julie Inkster, who I've grown up watching and idolized, and I'm hitting balls next to her, and there's Laura Davies hitting balls, and there's Lorena Ochoa, and all of a sudden I was just kind of starstruck, like, do I really belong out here? I mean, do I belong here? And all, my focus went to, instead of playing golf, it went to don't lose your card. So for me, it was more of a lack of confidence than the other. But, you know, it's just
or almost
it's an experience
believing you
that,
belong?
Yeah, I just didn't believe I belonged out there. I kind of felt like I got lucky. And it just, it's not the case, but I sure talked myself into that.
Can you tell us if we had some young girls listening or young men who really, really wanted to play on tour, what would be the number one piece of advice you might give them?
I would say if it's your dream to play, don't let anything stop you. Be motivated, stay motivated, find ways to make it happen. I mean, it's difficult sometimes to find the money or the funding, so pick up a part-time job and work a little bit and find some good people to surround yourself with. But I think from a game aspect, the more you can practice your short game, the better you're going to be, because it's a game of misses, and if you can miss it in the right spot or even the wrong spot and you have the confidence in your short game to get up and down and save par, that's where you're going to save your shots.
Is that awesome. The best, Katie? Is that the best part of your game, your short game?
It is, yes. I grew up across the street from a public golf course in the summer. My parents, they would give us, my sister and me, they'd give us $5 each, and we would go play 9 holes, and then we'd still have like half the afternoon, so I didn't have any more money left, but I had golf balls in my bag. So I would spend hours on the chipping green, just chipping. And my dad's short game is extremely good, too. He's not the longest hitter. And for him growing up, I think it genetically got lucky with good hands. So that also helped. But I put a lot of time into that short game, especially.
Can I ask you, how hard has it been to be aware of who you are, what your swing looks like, and to fend off the committee of they and their opinions and comments?
Sure. That's a good question. I would say I might not be cocky, but I'm very stubborn. I have worked with my coach for 14 years, 15 years, and his is the only opinion I trust. If people come up, they want to talk about my swing, they're entitled to their opinion. But I know the work I'm doing with Bill and the work that he foresees me doing and the direction he wants me to go, that's the plan that I want to take. But, you know, there's always people that are going to have opinions. And is my swing perfect? No. Is it ever going to be? No. But it works for me, and that's the most important thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so true, and there's a lot of great players, both men and ladies, that have come along the way that didn't have necessarily the picture-perfect swing, but had just enough self-awareness about what it is they needed to do, and I've used his name for many, many years, but Lee Trevino is probably one of the best I can think of all time that just didn't have the greatest-looking swing out there, but man, did he ever rack up some wins. What was your biggest struggle, do you think?
As far as just...
Well, just out there, you know, when you're out there, where do you struggle the most?
On the golf course?
Yes.
Or just in general?
In general, I mean, but obviously we're pertaining to golf, but where do you struggle the most with your game?
I would say it has to be approach shots occasionally. I could have a little more confidence in hitting into green sometimes. I'll play for, you know, 5 or 10 yards left of the pin, and I don't have my ball flight is pretty straight. I might hit like a 3 yard draw, but I basically hit a straight golf ball. And both my coach and my friend have been like, "Why aren't you just hitting at the pin? It's a accessible pin. Hit it at the pin." So for me, it's not necessarily physical, but it's more just attack. I think I could be a little more aggressive occasionally. And that's where I struggle sometimes. I get a little protective.
Yeah, and it's tough. You know, a lot of people think, well, wow, she's hitting it straight all the time. But that's not always the easiest. Nicholas said that sometimes, you know, it was tough if you were hitting the ball straight all the time because it limited really sometimes where you could, you know, because you didn't really have a miss per se, either by way of a fade or a draw. So you didn't always know, you know, where it was going to go. And he always, of course, was famous for his fade. And he knew exactly where he had to aim it every time. So let me ask you, Katie, about your going back to your win earlier this year at the Volvic Championship. Who's the most excited, you, your father, or your mother?
I'd have to say probably my mom. She's always been, like, very – she gets sports, totally understands all kinds of sports. And but I think for her – since we didn't have that bond like my dad and I did, for her and I, it's more baseball. We love to watch baseball. And but for her to just be there and experience it and be mom and be proud, I think was a very special opportunity for her to experience. But
where
don't get me wrong, I'm very excited.
Yeah, no, totally. That we, of course you are. Where do you practice and play in Florida?
I work at Admiral's Cove in the bag room, and so through that I'm able to play and practice on their. They have two separate golf courses across the street from one another, so I can go over to the Golf Village side, which has 27 holes, driving range, chipping green. That place is dead after 1 o'clock, so I go over there, play a lot, practice. That's kind of what I do.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good for
you.
So you know what? You know what's kind of fun? When I qualified to play on the LPGA Tour, I went through Q School, and I didn't have any sponsors. I didn't have enough money to pay the entry fee for the next week, so I couldn't play that next week.
Right.
I went home, and I had a big fundraiser because I was working as a waitress at at a restaurant. And so I commend you because where there is a will, there is definitely a way. And God bless you for working in the bag room and playing on the tour and winning a tour event. That's awesome. It just shows
that
if you really want something, you can get it.
Absolutely. And the best thing is you get all that support from people, and it makes you, I think, even sometimes want it even more. Just not to just for them to share the opportunity and the experiences as well. I mean, you can give back through the excitement that you get to live on the golf course.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
And it only makes you more accessible to other people, and they can live the dream through you, and that's what this game's about. It's a participation sport. You know, we all can pretend that we're have to make this four-footer to, you know, to be in a playoff or win the U.S. Open or, yeah, and that's what makes it so cool. So that's awesome, Katie.
Thank you.
Katie, what's next? What's the next tournament you're going to be in?
We have an event next week in Fort Myers, Florida, that I believe it's the Chico's Patty Bird Memorial Invitational.
Right.
So that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, you're playing with my Legends friends.
I know. It's just a great format they've put up. So it's a regular event for us, and after 36 holes, instead of cutting to the top 70 in ties, they're going to cut our field to top 50 in ties, and then 30 Legends Tour players are going to come in and play in a separate purse but on the same course in our pairings with us on Saturday and Sunday. So it's a unique event, and what a great way to blend the future with the past, and I mean, these are the women who pioneered the sport of women's golf and brought it to where it is today, and to have the opportunity to play with them is extremely special.
Well,
that's awesome.
Let me just say, Katie, you better bring your best game because some of those ladies are pretty tough competitors. Let me tell you, Cindy, you can vouch for that.
Yeah, I happen to be a member of the Legends Tour. I did ask for a sponsor exemption, but I didn't get one. But I was hoping to be down there with you. But
you're going to have a great time and soak up all the knowledge you can, because you
absolutely
you sound like you're very teachable and humble.
Thank you.
Well, Katie, we want to thank you. Unfortunately, our time is up, but we want to thank you for joining Cindy and I this morning at Golf, and particularly we want to thank you and congratulate you on your win earlier this year at the Volvic Championship.
Well, Cindy and Ted, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Best of luck there.
Yes, best of luck, and much continued success.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was Katie Kemter, the winner of the 2015 Volvic Championship on the Symetra Tour. What a great young lady, eh, Cindy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just a smart young girl. Mm-hmm. I can see a very promising career ahead for her, and going to be exciting to watch and see. And I'm sure, as you said, she's going to have a great time next week at the Chico. So we'll have to see what transpires there. Our next guest, as we mentioned, Melody Bedrosian is joining us here now as well. She's the executive director and corporate counsel for JB's Golf Inc. and as well as the LPGA Golf Clinics for Women. She is, and that's based out of Boston, Massachusetts. And Melody has been part of the development of the current LPGA Clinics series for the last 15 years. And as executive director, she's responsible for cultivating and maintaining sponsor relationships from contract to on-site execution and fulfillment. And without any further hesitation, let's bring on Melanie.
Welcome,
good morning,
Melanie. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Cindy, why don't you start things off, and then I'll jump in a little bit.
Well, Melanie, I'm thrilled to have you on the program because I know you're the one that does all the work in the background and probably never gets any accolades, but I believe that the LPGA Golf Clinics for Women is the most turnkey, awesome event. If a woman needs to learn to play golf and use it as a business tool, they need to attend one of your events. So can you tell us how the clinic started?
Sure. As you know, Jane Blaylock started the company 25 years ago, so this is our 25th anniversary. We're pretty excited about it. And she, in her career, saw a need for women to learn how to play business golf because there just wasn't enough of them out there playing pro-ams, being involved in corporate events. And she saw a need, and when Jane sees something that needs to happen, she tries to fill the void. And we started with one clinic 25 years ago, and we're up to 14 events this year, and we're pretty excited, and we're sold out at almost every venue, so we must be doing something right.
Absolutely. That's awesome. What is the first event for this year?
Monday in Los Angeles at Mountain Gate Country Club. It's a beautiful venue. It's our first time there. It's right on the side of a mountain. I don't know if you've been there. You can see it from the 405. It's absolutely, I'm anxious to see how it plays for these ladies.
Wow, that's awesome. And how many women will be coming?
There'll be, right now we're at 133.
Holy cow.
I know. It's crazy.
that's fantastic. So you got, and how many events are there on the schedule this year?
There's 14. And we're
wow.
in 12 cities across the country.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
No, like I said, most of them are sold out, so it's, you know, we're excited and kind of sorry because we want to be able to, we hate turning people away. It's the hardest thing to do.
Let me ask you a question. Do most people come to you as single participants or are they invited by a corporate sponsor?
They're invited by a corporate sponsor for the majority. We try to save about 20 spots at each clinic for single people to come off the street, I guess is the best way to say it. But basically, the rest of the spots are taken by our sponsors.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What about, can you share maybe some of the success stories that have come out from some of the participants?
Going back to the Los Angeles scenario, this one woman came up to me at the end of a clinic and she said to me, I just have to share the story with you. She was an attorney and had come to the clinic the year before and was on the phone in her office ordering golf clubs, and one of the partners walked by and heard her. And again, you know, had only been to the clinic once, just fell in love with the sport, you know, was going to take lessons, and this partner heard her ordering golf clubs, and he said, oh, you play golf. We need another person in our foursome at this corporate outing that we've been invited to. So she, bold as ever, said, yes, I'll definitely be there, and went, and she said, doors opened for me that I could never have dreamed possible had I not been ordering golf clubs that day and golf not been a part of my resume. So to me, that is exactly what we want the clinics to be. So that's my favorite success story.
That's awesome.
And then we just keep hearing similar things like that. And, you know, just women, I'm sure you both realize that when you play in a pro-am, not everybody is very skilled. And
right.
I think women are more intimidated by the fact that they're not that good. And, our goal is to teach them that you don't have to be that good. If you know the rules, if you know the etiquette, and, you know, you keep up the pace of play, people are going to want to play with you. Everybody has to start somewhere. So,
absolutely.
And I think that's the best thing about golf is, you know, unlike tennis, you really, you know, for tennis you have to play with people similar skills. It's harder to play different skill levels. But golf, you can really play all different skill levels.
That's for sure. So let me ask you a question. Do people come back year after year?
We do have a lot of repeat people. What we do find is, for example, like our sponsor hosts will come back every year with different guests. But some are repeat, but mostly it's the host that's the same. We do have one group that comes to San Francisco. They're all individuals, and they kind of make it a weekend. A girls' weekend and come to the, you know, stay overnight, do dinner, and then come to the clinic the next day, and they've been doing that for years.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Do they get the same instructor every year, or do they try a different one?
They keep requesting the same instructor. I keep, you know, suggesting that they might want to try somebody new, but they're pretty committed.
That's awesome. So who are the clinics really for?
The clinics are for everybody. Cindy, you've taught at them, so you know what it's like. It's, we have some really good golfers. We've had single-digit golfers that come and just to improve their games because we have great instructors who can teach that level of student. And then we have, you know, people who have never even touched a golf club. And this year, Ping is our equipment sponsor, and we have clubs for them. You know, they come with absolutely nothing. You can show up with just, you know, a pair of sneakers and, you know, obviously the appropriate attire, and we provide you with Titleist, you know, Pro V1 golf balls and Ping clubs. So, you can just come and show up, and we take care of everything.
And you know what? You do it so well. When do you work on these? Are you working on next year now, or are you really trying to make sure everything's tightened up for the full schedule of this year?
I mean, people always say at the end of the season, oh, now you can relax and do nothing. I mean, we are always talking about next year. As you all know, I mean, sponsorships are difficult to come by And Jane really does a great job at, getting new sponsors. You know, it's my job to maintain them. So we're constantly working on next year. And we have such a great group of women that work with us that, as you know, nothing is done by an individual, and everybody has their role. And, you know, when we get to a clinic site, everybody just goes in their own direction and does their thing and puts together this great product that we're all very proud of and happy to be a part of.
And you really should be proud of it, because I've never been to an event that's meant run more like clockwork ever. You do a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Is there a great
group of teachers.
Well, of course you do.
That was a perfect plug, Melanie. Thank you for doing that. Melanie, let me ask you, with respect to just the number of events that you have throughout the year, is that sort of a manageable amount? Are you looking to expand to more, or is that sort of a magic number that works, in order to keep it? Obviously you want to have more attendees as time goes on, but is that sort of a manageable level the way it is now, or do you see it continuing to grow?
That's a manageable level for us. We, a couple of years ago, you know, 1 year we did 16, 1 year we did 15, and because it's the same core group of women that go to put this thing on, we found that 14 is a number that works for us.
Right. Yeah, that's perfect. And who sponsors the clinic?
We have MetLife as our premier sponsor, and we have Fidelity Investments has been with us probably the longest at this point. I think it's been over 14, 15 years. KPMG is joining us this year as a national sponsor, which is very exciting. Titleist, as I said, does our golf balls. FedEx Express has been a huge supporter. Mondelez International, which is the old Kraft. So like Oreo cookies and, you know, the cookie part of Kraft. Ping does our golf clubs, and Cutter & Buck does our clothing. Plus, we have an association with both Golf Magazine and Golf Digest, which is nice.
So you get some that way. That's fantastic. Well, that's certainly a very impressive list of sponsors to have backing up. And as Cindy said, you know, you run a pretty tight ship that's fantastic. And I think it's great that more and more women are being exposed, especially women that are in business, are starting to see the benefits of playing golf and being active in golf as a valuable business tool. And I'm sure you get a lot of great feedback. Share some of the other feedback, if you don't mind, that you've got since doing the clinics.
Sure. Just as far as our sponsors are concerned, we had one sponsor who brought a guest and a potential client. At the end of the clinic, she closed a multi-million-dollar deal that she credits with having been at the clinics with both of those customers. Her comment was basically, there is no place else that you get this kind of, you know, long-term FaceTime where you really get, it's a bonding session because, you know, you're out there with all your faults and you're supporting each other, and women are so supportive at these clinics that, you know, it takes your relationship, you know, especially in business, to a different level. So we love seeing, obviously, stories, and that's, again, why we encourage our sponsors to make sure they bring the clients that they're trying to really get business from, because it works. Yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The other part of it is just, when we have a lot of sponsors that will reward their people for service by sending them to a clinic. So they find that, especially like the accounting firms, they have a hard time maintaining their females in the companies. This is a reward that they give to them, and it goes a long way. I mean, they appreciate being asked to be there.
So they use it as an incentive.
Exactly.
How do you pick the cities? Do you ever add new cities, or do you always go to the same city?
We pick the cities based on what our sponsors want. We offer them the opportunity to select the market. For example, we're going to Dallas this year. MetLife wanted us. They're really developing that market. So they, you know, asked us, you know, would you go there? And we said, of course, you know, we're our premier sponsor. And the clinic sold out within moments of putting it out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's true. But I mean, I don't know, a couple of years ago we were in Dallas, and I'll never forget the day before the clinic, it snowed, and we have pictures of Lori West hitting balls out of the snow in the bunkers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So this, as you mentioned earlier, Melody, this is the 25th anniversary of the LPJ Clinic series?
It is indeed.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have you been with Jane?
Over 20 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she knows how valuable you all are.
She does appreciate us.
That's good.
Let me go on a 10-day vacation.
I saw all your pictures.
Well, Jane, as you know, has been on the show several times now, and certainly probably one of the hardest working women in golf today. And I'm sure, Melody, you can attest, and I know Cindy certainly can as well. And ladies are just doing a fantastic job of growing the game. And I get excited about that because I've always played over the years. I've always enjoyed when I've gone out personally and played. Actually, I enjoy playing with the women more so because even though they're a little bit intimidated at times, especially some of the newer golfers, they always have fun. You know, they just enjoy themselves. They're very appreciative of being out there. And any way that I could help, you know, with their game along the way, they were just very, very appreciative and thankful and just like to get out there and have a good time, just like the guys do. And they're not competitive the same way. They're certainly competitive, but in a different way. And it was actually a great experience. So congratulations on all the hard work that you're doing and Jane and all the others that with these LPJ Clinic series. I know that it's going to be a continued success story for sure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Can I ask how the sponsors typically use the clinics? Is it, you mentioned incentives, building new business. Is it a team building event as well?
It is for some, yes. You know, for example, in some venues, MetLife might have 30 to 40 spots, and one host person might bring her team. And they all, you know, have them at a group, and they'll all want to be together, even though they're different skill levels, which we try not to encourage. But to them, it's more about team building. We have a couple of local market or regional sponsors, like Wrigley Gum, and that's what they use it for, team building. They always, you know, they come with the same shirts on, and it's, you know, they're very rah-rah, and it's just fun to watch them be together.
And you also raise money for charities.
We do. Susan G. Komen has been the charity of the clinic since our inception. Jane met Nancy Brinker, who is Susan Komen's sister, way back when she first launched the whole campaign, and at that point we decided to have Komen as our charity. The last couple of years we've also included Girls Golf, the LPGA's initiative, as part of our charitable component. You know, we raise money for that, you know, through our silent auction, and we have an on-site store where we, you know, the proceeds, a portion of that goes to the charity. So over the years, we've raised, I think, almost $1 million for Komen. So,
wow.
yeah, pretty exciting for us.
Well, and I'm sure very exciting for them to have such a work that's going on. That's fantastic. So when is the next? You might have already answered. When is the next clinic coming up?
So our first clinic is on this coming Monday, April 13th in Los Angeles.
Okay, that's right.
And then we start in Los Angeles and end in Delray Beach, so it's not too bad. The season.
Wow. Yeah, I know you got a great start to it. And how many typically the events? Now I know you said you have a sort of a magic number of 14 that you're trying to keep it at, but as far as participants in the event, what is the number again, or do you have sort of a general participation number that you try to not exceed in order to make it feasible?
We try not to exceed 144 at most locations. As you can imagine, every club is different. We're limited by the size of the driving range. We try to find some
right.
place that has a big driving range. And if it's big enough, we can have 144. Some venues, we're limited to 96 women.
Right.
Which is always disappointing. So we keep trying to
sure.
find creative ways to increase the numbers at a venue. So we're starting to work on that. But, so it's between 96 and 144.
Well, and, you know, 14 events, that's a lot of participants throughout the year. That's a lot of women being, you know, some for the first time being exposed to that level of golf and some great, as you alluded to earlier, some great instruction and great instructors. So congratulations again on you and Jane and the others that are involved with it for doing such a fantastic job.
Thank you very much.
I was just actually, my next question was going to be, do you have any, I'm down in Florida, is there any in the Florida area coming up through the year at some point? And if so, where would they be?
So we hit the last clinic on November 2nd is at Delray Beach at Seagate Country Club.
Okay.
We're doing that in conjunction with the Walgreens.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I remember that. Well, Melody, thank you very much for joining us. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and I can't thank you enough for coming on here and sharing all that you do and explaining a little bit more for our listeners about the LPGA clinics and just all the great work that you're doing to grow this game.
Thank you, Ted, and thank you, Cindy, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And you guys, the whole team at JBC Golf, you do an amazing job. I thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect. Well, have a great week and good luck next Monday at your first event of the year.
Thank you, and have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, that was Melanie Petrosian, the Executive Director and Corporate Counsel for JBC Golf and also the LPGA Golf Clinics for Women. Just a great lady, another hardworking gal out there, just getting the job done. Her and Jane and her team just do a fantastic job, as do you, Cindy Miller, every week, not only here on the show, but throughout your own golf business, Cindy Miller Golf. And if you want to get in touch with Cindy, you can do that at cindy@cindymillergolf.com. We want to thank, again, our special guest today. We want to thank, first off, the 2015 Volvic Championship winner, Katie Kempter, for joining us off the Symetra Tour. Again, congratulations, Katie, on your win. And thank you for stopping by and sharing some great insight from a tour player's perspective. And, of course, thank you to Melanie Petrosian, as I said, the Executive Director and Corporate Counsel for JBC Golf and the LPGA Golf Clinics for Women. On behalf of Cindy Miller and I, we would like to thank not only our special guest, but all of our listeners around the world for tuning into the broadcast. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com's Women of Golf. And until then, Cindy, have a great week and great weekend coming up, and enjoy the Masters. And we will see you guys right here on the Women of Golf Show. Have a great week, everybody. All right. Take care, Cindy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.